You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH.
Welcome to Riff Raff. This week we've got something special for you. We alluded to it last week as like a... Was it last week? Maybe the week before. I don't know. We're pretty lax with our schedule.
Time is stupid. I don't understand how it works.
What is it? Time is bullshit. Only back pain is real. last year we did the combined Toilet of Hell writer group cohort, whatever the fuck you want to call it. We all did a best top 10 death metal albums of the last 10 years. So that's albums released between 2008 and 2018. We all had 10 albums to put in, and they got one vote each. So we won't go through our lists, but mine and Kit's feature prominently.
Perfect.
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
Just know that they're perfect lists.
They're definitive and indisputable. You don't like them, go fuck yourself. I think there was only one record amongst all 10 that neither of us voted for, but it's a record that definitely deserves to be there for its style. It's you'll hear it later. But
Bastion was robbed. That's all I'm going to say.
So that's how we arrived at the list. Now, what ended up happening was there was a shitload of ties. So I had to...
Everything is tied for third. Everything had three votes.
I had to, like, correlate the lists, and I'm like, holy shit, there's so many that are on three votes. What the fuck are we going to do? And it just so worked out that we had one clear winner, one clear second place, and, seven or eight albums tied for third on 3 points. So it's a weird kind of top 10, but it kind of worked out good. Like, we were going to do a revote, but... It actually works out better to not do that, because this way people can't complain that their album didn't come in the top three, because technically they all fucking did. We normally do like five or six tracks, so we'll do the first five kind of thing. Not the first five, not the top five, but the first five on the list.
The bottom five. Yeah. The bottom top five.
Yeah, so they're all tied for third. First, we're going to play a track from Horrendous, from their 2014 album Ecdysis. How do you pronounce that? You're the Horrendous fanboy amongst us.
I've always been saying it Ecdysis, but I That's don't cool. have any idea.
So this is one that got a much sought after Kit vote. It's
hell yeah.
This is their first
and a write up.
Yeah. So Kit's done Kit reviewed this back in the day, and I think you've reviewed all three of their albums for us, haven't you?
I didn't do their latest.
Okay. So this one, yeah, as I said, it came out on October 14th, 2014.
God.
So right.
So long ago.
Yeah. Was that right when the site started, basically?
Yeah.
When we started migrating over from the shithole, the site that shall not be named. The band have reached a fair bit of acclaim since then. They're pretty much a household name. This statement could probably go for all these bands. Like, if you've heard the bands that we're going to play, good for you. Just imagine that you know it all and you're awesome and good on you. If you haven't heard the bands, what the fuck have you been doing? You probably should have been paying attention to death metal. How the fuck did you end up here? Like,
unbelievable.
I don't know how you ended up on a top 10 death metal podcast on a obscure fucking metal website without having heard of Horrendous, but here you are. So
impressive, honestly. High five to you.
Yeah, it's not like the radio where you can just flick around the channels and end up on some weird fucking ethnic sounding fucking station where you just don't know what the hell's going on. It's like you've purposely downloaded this, so it's a miracle. It's a fucking Christmas in July miracle. Yeah, if you've heard it all before and you don't care, good on you. If you haven't, keep up. It's like Schrodinger's listener. We don't know if you've heard it or not, but we're just going to play a track from each record. And yeah, so we thought we'd play the first track from this one. The Stranger, which is obviously about the hand job maneuver.
Yeah.
That's...
You sit on your hand until it goes numb.
What is the lyrical theme to this album? Do you know? I'm not a lyrics dude, so I have no fucking idea, but...
The only lyric that I honestly know from that song is at the start, whenever he says the sleeper awakens, just because that's a John Carpenter quote.
Ah, okay.
It's written inside a book at the start of Prince of Darkness.
Right. Yep. So that ties in with Kit's Got Another Podcast. If this is your first episode of our show, then you probably wouldn't know anything at all because you're a fucking dummy. But you also wouldn't know that Kit has a horror podcast called I Hope You Suffer, where he covers B, C, D, and Z grade horror movies.
Mostly movies about like bees and sharks, and they're all bad.
What do they call it? Creature Feature.
Yeah.
And Biodome. We can't forget Biodome. But so if you haven't heard Horrendous somehow, this was kind of their breakout album. Like, I'd say this is the one that
they started to kind of come into their own. Cause the first album was very much just Sweet Death, worshipy kind of stuff.
You can still hear traces of that, like HM2 pedal and shit like that in here, but this has got a much more prominent melodic flow, and this kind of solidified their sound going forward for, what was the next one, Anarita? I love Anarita. If I'm picking a Horrendous album to play, it's either this or Anarita. The new one was good, but this is their peak for me so far. It's crazy to think that it's 5 years old now, because like every time I see that cover, I just remember like the mood around this album. And I just looked up ecdysis, and it means shedding your skin. So that's obviously what Brian Smith was going for on the cover art. I'll put a link down below so you can...
It's actually a locust. It's a locust guy in front.
He's going to swarm. I'm surprised it's not a track called Swarm. So we were tossing up which songs we should play, because we've got like multiple favorites from all these albums, but in the end, it's probably best, we thought, if we should try and stick to maybe like the first song, or the first proper song on the album, to sort of give you the introduction for those that haven't heard it before. If you have heard the album before, you'll probably hear the first track and go, fuck, I want to listen to that record again, because you know how fucking good they all are. But so this is the first track we'll play now. It's called The Stranger. We'll be right back. Me, I've got to follow Brian Smith on Facebook again because I think I don't follow him anymore and I like seeing his shit in my feed.
I don't know he even had a Facebook page. I need to do that too.
I think he does, but that, then again, that was my old account, so that was like a year ago now.
I've got that as a poster flag, the Ectisus artwork.
Yep.
I just need to stop being a lazy piece of shit and hang it up.
Yeah, I've still got boxes and boxes of flags and shit in my garage. They're just gathering dust and getting eaten by rats and shit, so...
Sad.
Good. I'm following. Alright, so that was Horrendous with The Stranger. Everything will have a link down below, so you can go pick up the albums if you don't own them somehow. Next, we're going to play a track from Spectral Voice, which... I think both of us voted for this one. I think this might have been one that, we lined up on. Big fucking Death Doom release from 2017. came out on Dark Descent Records. You probably know all about it, and if you don't, you probably know all about them through their relation with Blood Incantation. It's Spacey Boys who are currently storming Area 51. you'd think. I bet
planning attack.
Yeah. Like, everyone knew it was a joke, but I can just picture that Paul is there, like, just waiting.
Leading the charge.
Yeah. he's doing that. I can picture him on, like, one of those Mad Max Fury Road trucks with, like, a flaming guitar just driving through the desert straight towards fucking the gates.
We're gonna get him.
Yeah, just playing some otherworldly fucking Blood Incantation riff. but, yeah, back to Spectral Voice. Yeah, so I don't know if it was a correlation or causation, but, like, whatever, like, this particular strain of, like, Finnish-inspired death doom really blew the fuck up after this album came out. Like, obviously that shit was around, and, yeah, there was cavernous death metal, it was already popular, but this one sort of took that disembowelment death doom right up in your face and made it very prominent, and, yeah, it sort of, I would call it, like, a, I don't know, what do you call it, not a revival album, but the scene in this sort of style, so the clean guitar, the haunting clean guitars yeah. over fucking plodding, lurching riffs, like, really is popular now.
It's my favorite thing, that weird staccato, like, yeah. reverb-y cleans over some really heavy chuggy shit in the back.
Yeah, it's almost meditative, like, you just put it on and it's easy to see where they came up with the title, Eroded Corridors of Unbeing, because that is basically a good summation of how the record makes you feel and where it puts you. So yeah, like I said, it's got that 90s Finnish vibe.
Very, very disembowelment.
Yeah. They've done a couple of EP. A lot of, like, I remember when this came out, there was a few, like, purists and elitists that were like, they like to talk about the EP and say that this wasn't up to scratch or something like that, but I don't think anyone who's heard this record and has heard the EPs thinks that sincerely. I think they're just miffed that they got popular, because the only thing that really separates this from those records is the production value is way better. It's not polished by any means, but it doesn't sound like a dog shit demo. It really brought everything out and made it not accessible, but you can hear what's going on, and it's
yeah.
the record's all the more powerful because of that. So yeah, if you haven't heard this, it's probably a good time to get on it, because we've got Blood Incantation coming out later in the year, which everyone's pretty stoked for. Or is it 2020? I haven't heard a release date.
It's this year.
Cool.
They're shooting for October. Okay. So
yeah,
we'll see. They just played it all at they played Fire in the Mountains
right.
festival. And they just played the whole album, and I'm real mad that tickets out to Wyoming cost like $800, so I didn't go.
What the fuck? What is that, a 3-day festival or something?
Yeah, it's 2 days. It's just outside in the Grand Tetons Mountains.
Is that in Colorado?
Oh, Wyoming.
Okay.
Yeah, I had looked at it, because I was like, hey, this is an insane lineup. Like, Wolves in the Throne Room, Ruins of Everest, Blood Incantation, Spectral Voice,
$800.
Oh yeah, those the plane ticket cost, like, from Texas out to Wyoming.
Oh.
It was the direct flight there was like $700, $800 or something. Okay. Or I could fly in somewhere else for $450, and then it's like a 6-hour drive. I was like, I'm all right.
Yeah, that is. That's, yeah. How much was it for to ride a moose there? What was the moose cost?
Yeah, right?
If you left, you know, in due time, you could have, like, turned up, you know, Red Dead Redemption style, holding onto the moose's horns and...
Yeah, have my cowboy hat on.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't do it in Colorado, like, with all the legal shit there, like, and $800 should include, like, your legal mushrooms for the week and, like, all your weed, you know, everything you need to really enjoy Spectral Voice, because
dude, I like Rocky Mountain National Park. Thing yeah. with all the deer.
What's the place? Is it Red Rocks or Three Rock? Triple Rock or Three Rocks?
Red Rocks.
Yeah,
Red Rocks Amphitheater.
That looks like a fucking awesome venue. I've seen so many right. like photos from concerts there for the last like 20 years. I'm like, fuck, I want to go there.
Yep.
I have no idea about the acoustics or anything, but it just looks cool. So I would take drugs and enjoy myself no matter how it sounded.
One day I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
It looks bonkers.
You have no excuse. You're right near it. In the meantime, take drugs and listen to Thresholds Beyond from Spectral Voice. We'll be right back. I kind of wanted to play one of the other tracks, but like they're a bit longer. Like the second one's like fucking 14 minutes.
Yeah. I think what the middle track is just like a 4-minute instrumental, and then
the
last two are like 10 minutes each. People love their extended jams.
Yeah.
At least I do. That I've gotten to the point where I see a song's like 15 minutes and I'm like, fuck yeah, all right.
Yeah. It's great for driving. You know, you can chuck a song on and it's going to get you to like, you know, work or whatever. You like don't have to skip or fuck around. Like, and it kind of helps you. It helps me gauge traffic. I know I can put on an. There's several EPs that are like three tracks and they're the exact length of time that it takes me to get to work. And I know if it's like, if the first song starts again, I'm like, no, this is overtime. I'm over 3 minutes fucking extra on my commute. This is bullshit. If it gets to the second track, I stop and turn around and go home. Fuck this. I don't want to hear the same song again.
I wanted to see At Ruins of Everest and Yellow Eyes and Dispirit like a couple weeks back in Austin. And Dispirit only played two songs, but they still played for like 40 something minutes because each song's 20 minutes long.
Yeah. So you'd be really bummed if it was like that's one of the tracks that you don't like from from their record.
The two songs they've released that I don't like, it's like, fuck, all right, this is 40 minutes. I don't want.
Play Freebird. That's all I want to hear. All right, so a minute ago that was Spectral Voice with Thresholds Beyond. And next we've got Obliteration, which is one that I picked, and you did not. Did you pick this one?
Nope. I voted for Vastum or Trench Rot in its place.
You fool. I'm just glad it got in, because this record just blew me away the first time I heard
Obliterate.
It. Yeah. So they're a Norwegian band from, what is it, Kolbotn or whatever that place is called. Same place as, like, Dark Throne and fucking a ton of other bands. They're in that same scene as, like, you know, these days it's like Execration, Obliteration, Sepulchre, Reptilian. They're all following on from, like, that weird-ass, sludgy death metal sound that Autopsy made popular back in, like, the early 90s. It's got a bit of, like, a stoner psych-type vibe to it, mixed with, like, Obliteration managed to mix in, which makes me happy. Two of my favorite things. They mix psych, weird-ass, stoner, fucking death metal shit with maniacal thrash from, like, you know, your Slayer, Hell Awaits Era Slayer. So, I think that might be why it appeals to me a lot. This one came out November 12th, 2013. It makes sense that they have a thrashy vibe because the two guitarists are also in Necromantheon, which is your sick, old school thrash. They've got quite a raw, not raw, but like organic production compared to a lot of the stuff we're going to play today. Less focus on precision and cleanliness and more on aggression and fucking weirdness, basically. The track, this one deviates. We're not playing the first track off this one. This is the third track. It's called Transient Passage. I recommend listening to the whole album, but if you just want to get a taste of what they do, then this is probably the best track for it because it sort of bridges the gap between their slower, weirder, psyche sort of stuff and their furious thrash off the wall craziness. Their latest album was awesome as well. Was it Cenotaph Obscure?
Yeah, there you go.
Came out last year. Highly recommended. Follows on in the vein of this one. Had it have had more time, it may have got the vote, but in the end, I'm glad this one got in. I had Execration on my list as well, but that didn't make it, so I'm just happy to get one of my Norwegian picks in there. So yeah, this one is also tied for third, as with every other fucking song we're going to play. And there'll be a link down below so you can pick it up. Here is Transient Passage from Obliteration. That was Obliteration with Transient Passage. Next, we've got the one we mentioned before that neither of us actually put in a vote for, but it managed to schnavel a spot. It squeezed its way in courtesy of, I think, Joe and Spear. I know Spear's a big fan of Mithras. Sorry, whoever I'm forgetting, but yeah, I'm just scanning the list. So. Anyway, so today I learnt that this, I've listened to Mithras a fair bit, mostly the previous album with the fucking, I can't remember what it's called now. This one we're going to play is from On Strange Loops, which came out in 2016. I didn't realise, we were just discussing earlier, like, how we're not overly familiar with the band, and I saw on Metal Archives that it's just one dude. Like, Leon Macy does the drums, the guitars,
everything.
Yeah, and he's got a guy in to do vocals and I think bass, but yeah, it's crazy to think that this is a one-man project essentially, because it's quite blistering. It's a lot.
pretty complex thing.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that makes it easier. I don't know. Fuck. It's not quite tech death, but it's the most technical thing we're probably going to play. Not the most technical, but the most tech deck. Tech deck. Yeah, his finger skating.
Leon Macy also does some sweet skateboard tricks throughout the album. You can hear him clicking on the rails.
I should just make the head of that. What's that fucking... There's like a meme with a kid who's doing it in the sink in a toilet. He's doing his tech.
I love that Encyclopedia Metallum has them listed as experimental brutal death metal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think of it as overly brutal, but I don't know. I guess it shares some characteristics.
In the more in the riffs than the vocals, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they're much more like punkish, hardcore, like shouty vocals than, you know, those super low gutturals.
And what they call it experimental just because it has a space theme? Is that what they do now?
What more do you need to experiment?
Yeah. So to tie in with,
you can take drugs and enjoy it, unlike regular brutal death metal.
To tie in with the space theme, it kind of follows a, maybe it's what I find to be a point of interest about it, is it seems to have like some of the solos and leads and stuff has like touches of major key stuff in it, which is definitely not common in anything that we listen to, basically. But especially in this kind of death metal scene, you don't really hear stuff that's overtly major sounding. And I'm not a scale or a mode type knower of things, but it sounds like what is it?
Pentatonic or death? My opinion.
I'm a big Phrygian artificial harmonic minor dude. I think it's like Lydian. What's the spacey sounding one? I think it's Lydian or Locrian.
Oh fuck, I don't.
It's one of them.
I've been like playing quote unquote guitar for like 11 or 12 years now. I don't fucking know a single goddamn scale. I'm terrible.
Oh, it really helps just to run up and down scales over and over again and get good at pissing off your neighbors. Yeah, I think it's Lydian or Locrian. Either way, you'll hear they're spacey, technical, kind of out there solos and leads, and that's their thing. There's actually a high res, it's called the High Res Full Dynamic Range Edition, which is something I know Earache do a lot of, the dynamic full dynamic range stuff, like they've did with like Bolt Thrower and Napalm Death and stuff like that. But this
it
one
comes
is
pressed on diamonds.
Yeah. Straight from the center
moon
of
diamonds.
Yep. So get to them before Tim Curry comes and steals them and tries to fucking take them to the lost city of Zinge. Just tell him to stop eating your sesame cake. this track we're going to play is the second track off the album on Strange Loops. I think Spear did a good review of this.
Yeah.
Or maybe he covered it for his Tech Death Thursday column back when it came out. So I'll link that down below as well so you can read someone who knows what they're talking about, talk about the album. This track is going to be called When the Stars Align. Yeah.
stars align!
I'm glad we got through that with only one Congo segue.
It's impressive.
Yeah, we don't know much about that record, but I know a lot about Congo, so...
Yeah, I know a shitload about sesame cake.
I don't think I've ever eaten sesame cake. Like, I don't even think...
I don't think I have either.
Is it even a thing? It seems made up.
I feel like if I started eating it, someone would tell me to stop. In the context of everything, sesame cake, and
preemptively stopped eating everyone's sesame cake.
Yeah, I don't want to get yelled at.
Maybe that's why he wants him to stop eating it, because it's so fucking rare. It's like rarer than the diamonds he's going there for. That big bag of cash was actually for sesame cake. It wasn't for passage into the Congo.
Talking gorillas are commonplace compared to sesame cake.
So that was Mithras with When the Stars Align. And next is our last track of this episode, edition, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Shemozzle.
Episode.
It's the boys from Artificial Brain. This is another one that came out just as the site... Well, actually, just before the site started. But I remember this... I think this was our album of the year, like the community album of the year for 2014.
I think so.
Yeah. We've both got computers in front of us, but we're not going to look that up.
We were hard into Skronk. Skronkiness.
Yeah.
There when we first started up.
I was just saying to Kit earlier, I think I would have fucked up all the voting, because re-listening to this the other day, I think this album has got better with time. At least it has for me. When it first came out, I was a bit put off by Will's vocals, basically. Like, I was already into Revocation, so I was keen to hear what Dan was up to outside of Revocation, and then when I heard this, I was like, holy fuck, this is a whole nother fucking thing.
It's so different from Revocation.
Yeah. It's obviously in that framework that Gorgatz established, you know, making technical, dissonant, skrunkish fucking metal.
Have Will do vocals for Mithras. then it becomes experimental, brutal death metal.
There's a good Toilet Radio interview with Will, which I'll put down below as well. I think that one came out just before Artificial Brain's second album.
That was just before Infrared Horizon.
Yeah, he talks about all the slamming New York death metal that he was into, and Biolich, and, you know, all these other... He's got a ton of other projects, so I think all the dudes in this band have multiple projects, but it really all came together on Labyrinth Constellation. As I said, I think this album's grown stronger over time. Like, I think a lot of the time when people review stuff or reference, you know, oh, check out this album, it sounds like Gorgatz, they really should be saying it sounds like Artificial Brain, because I think a lot of the albums that have come out since this sound more like Labyrinth Constellation than they do, you know, say Colored Sands or Obscura or something like that. This sci-fi dissonant craziness has really taken off, and you probably could say a lot of it is owed to albums like this. If you haven't heard the crazy fucking shit on Moon Funeral, the last track on the record, I highly recommend going and listening to that after you've finished up with this show. The album fucking rules. That's all I can say, really. if you like crazy fucking raked dissonant arpeggios and wobbly bass sounds with a disgusting vocals, they are disgusting. This is the album for you. We're going to play the second track. Is that what we chose?
Whichever one Absorbing Black Ignition is. I think it's the second one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll play that one. Because
it's the one with the riff. The fucking riff.
Kid was adamant that we play this one, but...
It's just so good that, like, skronky, draggy, like... Bwam, bwam, bwam,
bwam, bwam, bwam. It sticks in your head. It's got the Paolo Girardi fucking Transformers-looking cover. It's like Transformers on after a meth binge. They're all skinny and...
Weird little, like, bug men getting annihilated.
extraterrestrial craziness. So this is Absorbing Black Ignition from Labyrinth Constellation by Artificial Brain.
We'll be right back.
Someone's mentioned Nocturnus. I don't hear Nocturnus at all.
Not really. I mean,
just
other than just because it's sci-fi death metal.
Yeah.
I don't hear Nocturnus in there, though.
I hate that shit. Someone mentioned something the other day. It was in one of those other shit-ass fucking Facebook groups where they're like, oh, can someone please recommend me some technical death metal, like, nothing too wanky, but, you know, like Atheist and Cynic and such and such. I don't want any wanky shit. And the first comment is just Archspire. And, like, I didn't click it to see if that was, like, the top-rated comment or whatever, but it's just like, this group, man, who the fuck is... Is this fucking satire at this point? Because, like...
I'm absolutely recommending Archspire.
Just every thread.
I need some easy listening stuff. Archspire.
I need some stuff that, you know...
Relentless Mutation.
It's fucked. It irritated me. It really did. Like, and some poor kid who's just getting into like tech death, he's going to be like, okay, yeah, someone here wants something that's not wanky and isn't like, you know, all about how many fucking BPM you can play and how many sweep shreds you can do per second. It's like everyone's just upvoting Archspire, and it's like, what the fuck?
Luckily, he's going to get into the only good tech death band, so it's fine.
Yeah, and then
boom, hot takes, everyone.
And then he's going to discover a necrophagist, and then just like he'll be that dude commenting that to another kid in 5 years' time, and the circle of life continues.
What are they still? Does anyone still even fucking care about their album?
Yeah.
If it's happening or yeah. whatever, is
this,
it?
This
do
group,
we give a shit?
I'm gonna add you to this group, and you will see.
Oh,
just
no.
The utter shit. There's 10,000 fucking people or something in it, and every day, all day. Like, I've unfollowed it, but I know... Anton from Catalyst was like... I see him comment a lot in there, where he's just mad that people are talking about Necrophagist and Archspire. It's like every day there's a new Archspire and Necrophagist thread. And so when I was feeling particularly, like, dickhead-ish one day, and I just tagged him in a bunch of them. Just some really good examples of that. It was like the day after he wrote a big post like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, there's like 10,000 people in there, and that's all they do is talk about those fucking two bands, two albums. Yeah, it's like they're not even talking about the Faceless or like just other, it's not even just the other overdone, over popular tech death bands. It is just those two bands. Like, not even shitting on about...
I'm half in because I fucking love Archspire, so... Okay.
I can't remember much of their last one. I probably should have listened to it more.
It jams. It was my go-to gym record for a while.
Yeah.
So fast.
I gave Spawn of Possession a bit of a run the other day, and like, I think I listened to Pathology after we were talking about it. They're not tech death, but yeah, I was in the mood for just like the generic
slams.
Yeah, yeah. Ridiculous technical stuff and then I was back on my smooth jazz like I usually listen to. Put the flat rim away.
Johnny train.
Yeah, so that's an episode. We'll if you're still listening, I don't know if I'll keep this bit in the podcast. I usually fuck around and cut shit out. Yeah, we'll do the top five, which are also just the first two and a bunch more that were tied for third next episode.
Also, tune in next week to see if Chuck Mangione slams.
Who the fuck is Chuck Mangione? Is that a wrestler or a UFC dude?
he's like a jazz guy. He's like a smooth jazz musician.
I've never heard of him.
The only reason I fucking know who he is because he's a running joke on King of the Hill.
Okay. See, that King of the Hill got really fucked over here. Like, Simpsons, Family Guy, South Park, fucking even like American Dad, Cleveland Show, all that shit got screened pretty repeatedly, but King of the Hill was like
All that shit is trash in comparison to King of the Hill.
Man, you had to be dedicated because, like, only one channel on, like, I don't have pay TV. They probably showed a lot on pay TV, but I refused to pay Rupert Murdoch for fucking television. So free-to-air television is like, you had to stay up till like 10:30 at night on like a fucking Tuesday just to catch, you know, like a two-year-old episode of King of the Hill. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to torrent all that one day and fucking watch it all. But yeah, I never really got around to anything past like season three. So I've got a lot of good stuff waiting for me.
You missed out on the episode where, Chuck Mangione's living inside the Megalomart.
I've just looked him up. He's got a fucked up hat. He looks like a South Park character, like without any alteration. He just looks like one already. Have you heard any of his music? Is he good or
just through King of the Hill? They've got one song that they play repeatedly. I probably know the fucking Chuck Mangione song better than I know any Mithras songs.
You know I'm dubbing it over this bit. So we're going to go out with Chuck Mangione and his famous song, Friends and Love, a Chuck Mangione. No, that's not a song, that's an album. God damn it.
I was going to say, what? It's probably something off of, like, Feels So Good or whatever.
He's got an album called Buttercorn Lady. What the fuck is that about?
Only knows. Oh, yeah, Feels So Good is the song that's always in King of the Hill.
Okay. Is it, like, is it listenable? Is it chill?
Just from the, like, 10-second snippets I've heard on King of the Hill, yeah.
Sounds like what you did sounded like the thing you hear in the elevator or like the McDonald's toilet when you're throwing up.
That's Chuck Mangione.
Dropping a filthy grunt on a hungover Monday morning in the Macca's Dunny, hearing Chuck Mangione play Buttercorn Lady, the smooth sounds of Buttercorn Lady.
Chuck Mangione sounds like perfect hangover music. You're sitting there taking that dirty beer shit. You've still got your sunglasses on, like head down.
Yep. Dropping some buttercorns in the dunny. I'm definitely playing a Chuck Mangione song at the end now. Hold on, I'm coming. That's a... Is that?
Whoa.
Hold on. Is that that song? Because I know that.
No idea.
Hold on. Is that... Probably don't even have the lyrics right. I don't know my old shit. It's like from ads and movies and shit. Domino's ad. The Domino's pizza checker. Correct the top. They've got a fucking drone that hovers over your pizza and checks if the toppings are correct. What the fuck?
The fuck?
The world should be extinct.
What?
Yeah, it is. It's that. Can you hear that? No.
No.
Okay. I don't know how technology works. I'm old.
I didn't realize that Chuck Mangione plays a flugelhorn. What the fuck is a flugelhorn?
Isn't that Swedish shit?
It sounds Swedish.
You know, Stockhausen? Stocky, our boy? Yeah. He's probably real mad right now that we don't know what a fucking flugelhorn is. He probably uses it all the time at band practice.
He can deal with it.
Yeah.
Until he starts playing flugelhorn and discordia, I refuse to learn what it is.
Oh, he's gonna now. it's a German thing meaning flank horn.
Sounds stupid.
It does sound dumb. They named it a dumb thing on purpose.
You know what? It would be way cooler if it was a bugle horn and it shot out like bugles, the chips.
What are the...
You ever had bugles?
I don't think we... I think that's a culture thing. We don't have them.
Well, then that is a wasted joke. Fuck.
Bugle.
All right.
Bugle chips.
They're like little triangle ones that people would always put on their fingers, so it looks like they have claws.
Oh, I've seen those in memes and shit. Yeah, we don't have them.
Yeah. That's fucking sad. Y'all are missing out.
We have the rings, you know, like, what are they called?
Onions?
No. No, we don't have them either. But I had to look up what they were once because I was like, what is this Funyun shit Americans are always talking about? This Seppo shit's gotten real weird. Who the fuck wants an onion chip? What kind of fucking Eastern European desperation era is that?
They're not fucking good.
No.
They're fun to say, at least.
Are they? It sounds like something you grow on your foot when you've been fucking hanging around in the wrong kind of area. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but you're having fun.
Trying to think of the, like, burger rings and, like, God damn it, tubes. What? Jesus Christ. They're not twisties, but they're like, you have twisties, yeah?
I don't know what that is.
Jesus, I thought that was an American thing. So weird, the stuff that I thought came from over there, because it just seems so grotesquely consumer-manufactured plastic food, and it's like, hold on, no, we made that. We're responsible for that terrible thing. Yeah, they're, I don't know. I kind of want a bugle now, though. They look like little samosas.
They're delightful.
Yeah.
And again, you can do the claw thing. Someone tries to bite you while you're eating bugles, you can poke their eyes out.
The one thing in life that I know for sure is that if I ever do anything that amounts to anything, I won't have a Wikipedia page as detailed as bugles. There's like 2 pages just on these things. It's like, there's some dead dudes who... There's like guys who fought honorable causes in war and died of starvation, you know, while liberating fucking thousands of people that don't have as long a write-up as bugles. That's an indictment of all of our
culture. My wiki page is not going to be nearly as long as the ingredients and variety section.
or of the
flumpet. International sales.
I don't know if you saw on the flugelhorn page, there's a thing called a flumpet. It makes the flugelhorn sound good.
Fucking Christ. Flumpet just sounds like the saddest trumpet.
It sounds like a slur against the... I don't like these things. There's notable flumpet players. Come on, dudes.
Oh, no.
I bet the notable flumpet players have a longer Wikipedia than, you know, my hometown.
Art Farmer.
Frank's character's name when he said derivative in Always Sunny. He was
Ongo Goblogian.
Yeah, he was an art farmer. We'll probably cut a lot of this out. We'll probably cut all of that out. Oh, did I tell you I made a previously on Riff Raff thing?
So
I had it in my head. I was like, oh, I can do this while I'm at work. And yeah, I did it on my phone while I was bored at lunch, sitting in the bush.
Previously on...
That's perfect. I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can email it to yourself and download it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I stood at the counter at the local fucking movie record, like, electronic store today for like 20 minutes because I wanted to return a DVD that I'd already bought, like, a Blu-ray of online, and I had to fucking forward myself a PDF so that I could email it to them to get a receipt showing that I'd paid for it, because they do digital receipts there now, so I could get a refund. Right. The thing cost like $8, and I was like, oh, I've been here for 15 minutes. I don't even want the $8 anymore, but it's like, how many more minutes am I away from just completing this transaction and buying something that I don't already have?
For $8.
Yeah. I got my refund, but it was real bad just standing there getting a refund via PDF email. And the chick at the counter's looking at me like it should be a quick process, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what's going on here. This sucks. Like, and the other thing I was returning, I just had like a paper receipt, so I was able to just go, here you go.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, your digital receipts suck. Stop going digital for everything. It's not...
The future blows.
It does. I'm going to be that old dude who can't use the ATM and just gets the shits with, like, the electronic bidet system they've installed at my local shops when I'm just like, I just want to wipe my ass like a normal person. That's me in 3 years.
Soon.